talking about souls, we're talking about lives, we're talking about families, we're talking about whole communities, we're talking about neighborhoods, we're talking about whole cities, we're talking about whole nations, we're talking about whole worlds. We're talking about people. Jesus was all about people. He was all about people, man. He loved us. In fact, he still loves us. But he loved us enough to go and endure the cross. And I'm just grateful. The song that we sung earlier, through the struggles, bring forth the blessings. I thank God, man. I've been through some struggles in my life. I want to thank God that I came through them and keep going through them. Mark chapter 11. We're going to start reading in verse 1. And the Bible reads something like this. And when they came near to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany of the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and said unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and you shall enter into it. You shall find a colt tied there that man has never sat on. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do you do this? Say that the Lord has need of him, and straight away he will send him hither. I love this translation. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door, without in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what are you doing, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Jesus has commanded it, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat, and Jesus sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches of the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before, and they that followed, cried, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity, Lord God. I feel like I've had something stuck inside me all day. God, I feel like, Lord, I feel like I've got a baby that's ready to come out me. I feel, God, that God, you have a word for this church tonight. And Lord, I believe that you spoke to me this morning. And I'm asking you to confirm it through your Holy Spirit. I pray for those that have ears to hear, that they would hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say tonight. And every person that's under the sound of my voice right now would be switched on, tuned in, and alert to God. I thank you once again for the privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I thank God, amen, for salvation. I thank God for second chances. Anybody ever thank God for a second chance? Or anybody ever thank God for a third chance? Anybody fourth chance? I'm going to stop there, amen. I'm going to stop there. I reckon we could get up to at least seven or eight. I'm going to stop there. But I want to thank God for salvation. When I was given the topic to preach on, or to preach on outreach, automatically, I felt God lead me to one portion of Scripture. I'm going to share on that briefly. But the reason that I decided to, and I believe God wanted me to speak on this portion of Scripture tonight, is because I believe, and I say this in full authority and standing here right now, I believe that God has gave me a prophetic word to speak in Jesus' name tonight. When it happened to me this morning in my bedroom, I felt sick in my stomach. I felt uncontrollable. I felt shaky. I said, I'm going to have to phone Pastor Kev. Oh, no, he's got a baby. I can't. I'm going to have to phone Pastor Paul. No, I can't. No, I'm going to have to phone somebody. And then I sat back on my bed and I thought, right, what do I do now? I need to speak to somebody. I need to share this. And I want to share it to you tonight. And I believe it's right on tune for where this church is at the minute. So we pick up this story here of Jesus entering Jerusalem. We all know the story of Jesus and his birth, and we all know that Jesus is a miracle working God. He's a healer, he's a deliverer, he's a restorer, he's a rebuilder, he's a replenisher. He is the only one. And here we see Jesus saying to his two disciples, he's telling them, directs them, gives them a message. He says, listen, I want you to go over there and I want you to see that colt. I was going to speak from another translation tonight, but I decided against it. He said, I want you to go across there and I want you to find that colt. And he said, I want you to bring that colt to me. This was the message that God gave me today. We are disciples already. Can I hear an amen? We are disciples already. Are we saved in this place? Is there anybody that isn't saved in this place? So I'm speaking to the right crowd. We're all disciples in this place. Jesus sends his two disciples across with a commandment and says, when you go over into that village over there, he says, you'll see a colt that is tied up standing outside the door. He said, nobody's ever sat on it, nobody's ever rode it. I want you to loose it and I want you to bring it to me. So the disciples go, as good disciples do, as disciples do, when they're given an order, they go for it. When they're given a command, they go for it. How many know that we've been given a command, not just as Christians, but even more specifically as Victory Outreach, to go forward into all the cities and all the nations in the darkest places that no one else would go to and reach out to the treasures out of darkness? We have been called now as disciples to go and to loose people, to free people, to untie people. And bring them to Jesus. It says in verse 3 that if any man says unto you, why are you loosing this? Why are you setting this dumb donkey free? Why are you setting this thing free? And Jesus turns around and says to him, because the Lord needs it. I want to say something to you tonight that maybe no sit right with you straight off. I want to tell you that God needs you. He needs you. You see, we seem to think that God needs for nothing and he wants for nothing. He is the giver of all things, the maker of all things. He is the one that supplies all things. But God's commands and God's promises and God's will must be carried out through men and women. It must be carried out. How else is he going to do it? You hear people say, oh, it's a man-made mission. It's all about the man. Well, who else is going to carry it out? A donkey's not going to carry it out. A frog isn't going to carry it out. And I came to tell you tonight that God needs you. And he needs you to be somebody that he can send into a place, into a village, into some place where somebody is tied up in bondage, and loose them, untie them. He never said, untie them and let them go. He said, loose it and bring it to me. The reason I read this portion of scripture and the reason I read as far down as that is because I wanted to explain the name Hosanna. I love that song. I was, in fact, going to sing that song. I'd say, how many can say amen? I've saved Jesus. I've saved Jesus. Amen. For another opportune moment. Amen. It's coming. It's coming. I was saying to the guys in the men's home, I'm going to sing a song when I got there. But then I'm thinking, man, that's going to be at least 5 minutes off my 15, so I'm going to keep it short. But the name Hosanna, it means, in the Old Testament, it's only ever spoken about one time, and it means, save us, I pray, save me. In the New Testament, it's used more as a blessing to God. Now the Savior has come, the salvation is here, salvation is upon us. And the reason that they were singing this song when Jesus was striding into Bethany, or the reason that Jesus was striding into Jerusalem, was because they realized that what was happening was something was so special that the world had never saw before. They realized that when they were shouting, Hosanna, salvation has come, the Savior, the King, the Almighty, Jesus Christ is here, the Lamb that was slain with sin and stain, this guy, he is here. This guy is real. Salvation is here. The Bible says in John chapter 3, it talks about an episode with a man named Nicodemus. It talks about that Nicodemus came to Jesus at night time. It said that he said to Jesus, he said, He said, I know you're a good teacher, rabbi. I know you're a man from God. I know you've came from God. But there's just a few things I struggle with. There's just a few things that I just can't just quite put my finger on and just tie it down. Please explain to me your doctrine. Please explain to me the doctrine of salvation. Please explain to me, do I have to go back inside my mother's womb again? Jesus turns around and says to him, and this is what I want to explain. This is the truth. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. You must be born again. You see, this donkey, the reason why these two scriptures come together is because this donkey was tied up, the Bible says, outside, standing outside the door. And God gave me a portion of scripture to work on even before I came to this. God had gave me the word. God had gave me the thing. It's Christmas time. Many of us are going to be going back to our families. Many of us are going to spend Christmas day around the table with our families, with our brothers who aren't saved, our sisters who aren't saved, our fathers who aren't saved. Come on now, listen. Our cousins aren't saved. Listen, even maybe your boyfriend or your girlfriend aren't saved. And listen, like this donkey was standing, looking in from the outside in. He was at the door. He was close enough to get in the door, but it wasn't quite in the door. He was standing outside the door. He could smell the food. He could see there was a banquet. He could see there was dinner inside. He could smell there was dinner outside, but he never quite entered in. He never quite went in through the door. He never quite went into the next place. And some of your family members are at the exact same point. Some of our family members, they think they're going to go to heaven because they subscribe and they sponsor a teddy bear. They sponsor a snow leopard. Have you seen the advert on the telly? Sponsor a snow leopard, £3 a month, and you get a cuddly toy. What? But see, the enemy has blinded our family enough for them to think and for them to believe that because they sponsor a snow line, or because they give to WWF, or because they're insured by AA or RAC or ABC or ITV, it doesn't really matter which one they're plugged into. But the only way is, and the truth is, your family must be born again. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other way to Jesus. There is no other way. You can't come through the co-op scheme. You can't come through the Matalan scheme. You can't come through your Tesco club card. You can't come any other way. You have to tell them, listen, this is the truth. You must be born again. You can't go back inside your mother's womb. How many people are grateful we can't go back inside our mother's womb right now? But listen, I've come to tell you, you need to tell your families at Christmas time. Listen, I tell you the truth because I love you. You need to be born again. You need to come to Jesus. It's not going to be enough for you. It's not going to save you. It's not going to rescue you. You can sponsor that all you like. You can talk to that all you like. You can even put your magnetic picture on the fridge all you like. But the truth of the gospel is that Jesus Christ said out of his very own mouth and his very own lips, I tell you the truth, you must be born again. Well, many of our family members, listen, are like the colt that is standing at the door. My dad texts me, man, he puts God bless and all that and end it. He's not saved. Well, yeah, he's not saved, but he's standing at the door. The Bible says Jesus stands at the door and he knocks. But unless that door is open from the inside, unless there's a response from the other side, then Jesus won't come into a life that doesn't want to accept him. I come to tell you tonight that you have to tell the truth. Anybody ever been in court? Anybody ever told the truth? Come on now. Anybody ever said not guilty when really we're guilty? But But Jesus is calling. He's calling your family. He's calling your mother. He's calling your brother. He's calling your sister. He's calling your auntie. He's calling your uncle. He might even be calling your milkman or your paper delivery guy. I don't know. But the truth is, unless you go and untie them, say, listen, I'm coming to bring you to Jesus because he needs you. He wants to use you to reach others. We have to tell our family the truth. I've shared this kind of message before, roughly, about our sins gone in 60 seconds. Ever seen the film Gone in 60 Seconds? Do you know that when you ask Jesus into your life, that 60, 70, 80, 90 years of sin can be washed away with a 60-second prayer? Or even just like the sinner on the cross, remember me, man. Hey, Jesus, remember me. No more Primark in heaven. Remember me. So now we get to the point. In some Bibles, Mark chapter 11, there is in other Gospels as well, but just because it was in the Gospel of Mark, I thought it sounded better coming from Mark. Mark chapter 11, in some Bibles, the heading says, Jesus's triumphant entry. They were singing Hosanna because they knew that salvation was near, because Jesus Christ was entering in to a new season. It was a new season. It was a new season. I'm going to finish up here. And you're all wondering what the word is. I'm going to tell you what the word is. When I was in prayer this morning, I believe that God showed me and God spoke to me that as Jesus was ushering in a new season of salvation, that God said, this church here in Manchester, Victory Outreach Manchester, we are about to enter in to a season of salvation that is unprecedented and that nobody has ever saw before. Nobody knew. Nobody knew. Nobody understood fully. But the word for this church is that we are about to enter in to a new season of salvation that is going to see this church expand, explode, and take this city for Jesus Christ. We're going to see a harvest in 2013. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Holy Spirit, I love you. I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you that you use stubborn donkeys. I thank you that you've called us and brought us to this ministry here in Manchester, Lord, because God, you are going to use us, Lord, to fulfill your plans in this city. God, your word to this church in this season is we are about to step in, Lord, to a season of salvation that, Lord, we have never, Lord, saw in this ministry before. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm a single, just a little part of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's go. Let's call up Brother Colin. Amen. Brother Colin's going to come up and...